Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Thank you. And this hour from Fat Pride in Anaheim Hills, Roland Schwinn is going to be our special guest. Saccharin. Now, here's an interesting product. Saccharin, you may recall, maybe your mom and your dad used it. My father always had that saccharin tablet in his cup of coffee every morning. And then along came the information from the FDA that it caused cancer, and people ran from saccharin. If you don't know what saccharin looks like, it was a little small pill, and you'd have a bottle of saccharin pills, and you'd throw the saccharin into your coffee or your iced tea or whatever, and it was a sweetener. Well, the word came down that it was a carcinogen, that it caused cancer, and primarily that was because I think it caused cancer in laboratory rats. So pretty much that. When it causes cancer in a rat, you can pretty much assume that they're concluding it causes cancer in human beings. And that's so flattering, isn't it? Okay, it caused cancer in this paint chip-eating, sewer-living rat. We're dead. Because there's not much difference between a rat that lives in a garbage heap and a human being. So that's what they did, and now we find, within the last few days, that that has been rescinded, that the medical opinion has been rescinded, and that saccharin is now deemed safe. And with us on the line from Fat Pride in Anaheim Hills, an organization that believes, first of all, they do not believe in dieting. They believe that one should be fat if one is fat and proud, and one should not feel guilty about loving food. Roland Schwinn, and very good evening to you, Mr. Schwinn.
Good evening, Phil.
Tell us what you think about this saccharin thing.
Phil, it's very difficult for me to speak on this without some sense of emotion. Saccharin, in my opinion, is right up there with cyanide gas and the atomic bomb. The man who invented saccharin should have been drugged. Not led, but drugged before the Nuremberg Tribunal on war crimes. And this, he should be charged with a crime against humanity for the lie that was told to every bountiful and proud person. And that,
What was the lie?
That you can lose weight and keep it off. And every one of these products, saccharin, and the sweet and low. I'm not just limiting myself, Phil, to saccharin. I am talking about sweet and low. I'm talking about the fat substitute that escapes my memory right now. I'm talking about the equal. I'm talking about all of the artificial sweeteners that have been put into foods. And all of these sweeteners were put into foods with the notion that one can lose weight. And
I'm told that that is called Olestra?
Olestra, yes. That was the fat substitute. What a lie, a filthy lie, and one that was told to the bountiful and proud, hoping that we would lose weight or attempt to lose weight and keep the weight. There is no such thing, and that is the lie.
Now, you're saying that there is a purposeful lie being told by the diet industry that you can lose weight and keep it off.
I believe it is, because you have an industry to support. And those of us who are members of Fat Pride, the Bountiful and the Proud, those of us who are not ashamed to eat and to carry the weight as the fat, the bountiful and the proud, recognize that the diet industry is now going through its dying last gasps. It is hanging on. It is clinging, if you will, to the very edge of the cliff of life, because the bountiful and the proud and those of us who have been lied to by the diet industry find that they are now on their last legs.
And so the lie that you say that has been told by the diet industry,
it, Phil, is that you can lose weight and keep it off.
And you don't believe that?
I can tell you that it has never happened. I can tell you that no one has ever lost any weight and been able to keep it off. There was a time early on in my life when I was into the so-called fitness, when I wanted to waste my fat. You notice I didn't say lose weight. I said waste my body image. And I was involved in my 20s in all manner of exercise, sit-ups, riding bicycles. I lost at that particular time about 150 pounds. I put the weight back on within 5 years. I don't know of any human being who's ever been able to keep the weight off. I worked for years. I rode exercise cycles, sit-ups. I ran miles a week. I lifted weights, and I was inevitably the slave of the lie that is saccharin. And I believed in the lie of weight waste and weight loss, and I had not yet come into the what we call the awakening.
Now, the awakening in Fat Pride is what?
The awakening is the epiphany of one's largesse. You cannot lose weight. You have an epiphany that your weight is your real self. And if you were to lose your weight, you are losing yourself.
And so the awakening is you are awakened to the epiphany?
The epiphany of your largesse. That if you are large, you are, that is the way that you should be. Now, I cannot lose weight and keep it off. And all of you thin people, you will be a tub of guts again. There is no doubt. Proof can be offered in any example.
All right. With us is Roland Schwinn from Fat Pride. And saccharin, you think, and he believes, has been part of the diet industry's attempt to get people to lose weight, to kind of keep that cycle of dieting going. It is impossible to lose weight and keep it off.
Absolutely, Phil. I'll give you an example. Back in the early 1990s, there was a woman by the name of Susan Powder. Do you remember her?
Yes, I do. She had the TV show.
She had all of the lecture tapes and all the exercise tapes. Susan Powder has re-enlarged, and that's where you have the guilt. Oprah Winfrey is another individual who was preaching weight waste, and now she has re-enlarged. And
what do you mean Susan Powder has re-enlarged?
It is my understanding that she has put the weight back on.
And Susan Powder used to be on TV, and she'd show pictures of herself when she was fat, and she was huge.
She was absolutely beautiful, in my opinion, because she did not live in a world of guilt where you can eat and you feel guilty about it. She re-enlarged as a result of her guilt. Where is Jenny Craig? 400 pounds and living in the Bay Area.
Jenny Craig is 400 pounds and living in the Bay Area? Jenny Craig?
That is the rumor. I don't know. But the point is, so many of these individuals have gone through a re-enlargement, a re-expansion, and they are now blimped, tubbed, and fully fitted for the re-expansion and enlargement.
What do you mean? They're blimped and tubbed for what?
In Fat Pride, we say that once you have re-enlarged, you have blimped and tubbed for your re-expansion.
Blimped and tubbed for your re-expansion.
Yes. Those are affectionate terms. And again, Richard Simmons. Richard, my understanding, has re-enlarged, although I don't know if his tubbing has taken place yet. You have a four-week period in which you can blimp.
Okay, we would probably have to get some information on your organization, because I don't know, when you say that I have a four-week period to blimp.
Before the retubbing, yes.
Okay.
Phil, these are affectionate terms, and they are, you know, you laugh because you don't understand. You laugh because you feel that we're mocking ourselves, but we're not.
All right, well, what does it mean when you re-blimp?
You blimp and tub for your refitting and re-enlargement.
You're blimping and tubbing for your refitting and re-enlargement, which is what?
That is the first step before the awakening. And that is when you become completely comfortable with your largeness, and you become completely comfortable with the fact that you're not really eating, and you enjoy the meal. And that is number one.
All right, Roland Schwinn from Fat Pride, 1-800-449-8686. I have to say that you have an organization that is completely unique in that it's almost a religion for you guys to eat.
You know, people have said that to me, and they've asked me, is this a religious experience? I say, well, the retubbing can be religious, and I've seen a good many people go through the epiphany of the retubment and the re-enlargement. But they have to fight so much, Phil, and I hate to see people who are retubbing and refitting having to fight. And
what is it that they're fighting? The lie that you can take the weight off?
The lie that you can take the weight off and eventually keep it off. No one has ever done it, Phil, and I can guarantee you...
Well, what do you say to somebody out there who has lost a lot of weight? How much do you weigh?
I'm 297 pounds.
And how tall?
I'm 5'7".
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So the attempt is to make you feel guilty because of my retubbing. Is that it?
I can't imagine that you're healthy with a shape like that.
Believe me, if I feel I am. I've had my blood pressure taken and my heart checked. I have an EKG. I'm in perfectly good shape.
And my understanding, because Mike told me you're eating right now, right?
We are always enjoying our lunches, and we're bountifully proud, yes.
So you're eating?
Yes.
Is that what I hear in your mouth?
Is it probably here in my mouth? Yes, I'm having some clam dip right now. Is that better, Phil?
Yeah, that's better, because when you're eating, I can't understand.
Famous Amos is another, and Richard Simmons, as I mentioned, has retubbed and refitted. Dick Gregory has gone through the tubbing. Famous Amos is blimping. I don't know if Jenny Craig is 400 pounds. I do know I heard a rumor that Jenny Craig had retubbed.
And Jenny Craig had retubbed, meaning she had
enlarged.
She'd put on weight.
In the language of your people, yes.
And it's almost like I'm speaking to an Indian. In the language of my people, she's put on weight. In your people, she's re-tubbed for her fitting and re-enlargement.
She has blimped and re-tubbed, yes.
Excuse me. 1-800-449-8686. I'm on the line with Roland Schwinn, who we're talking about saccharin now. Saccharin has been reclassified, I guess, in the opinion of the FDA as something that's safe. He feels, as long as other members of Fat Pride, you can never lose weight and keep it off. And that's quite a challenging statement to make. I'm a cigarette smoker, and I've heard people, I used to be a cigarette smoker, and I've heard people say, Phil, you'll never be able to quit. I guess that was a little Freudian slip there, that I have quit. I've quit since November, but many people have said to me, you'll never, ever be able to truly quit. Sooner or later, you'll go back. And Mr. Schwinn's saying the same thing about weight. You'll never really be able to kick. It's a depressing thing, but his organization represents some positive attitude. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8688. Yes, sir?
You know, I really resent you giving the whole mission statement of our organization. Why do you know to do?
All right. I mean, I was just... But you do believe in a...
We believe in a positive attitude, yes. We believe in eating a good meal and not feeling guilty about it. Or retubbing.
A retubbing, if you will.
If you will.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Right, 1-800-449-8686 with Roland Schwinn, who is the president of Fat Pride in Anaheim Hills, an organization dedicated to what, Mr. Schwinn?
Dedicated to making sure that every fat and proud and bountiful and proud individual eats without guilt and can enjoy being larger without guilt and feeling they need to lose weight, as you people put it, when in point of fact, we can be healthy and we can enjoy the awakening.
And you and retubbing and refitting oneself for enlargement. You don't call it putting on weight. You call it enlargement.
We call it the re-enlargement, yes.
And also some of the comments you made that Susan Powder, Jenny Craig, Oprah Winfrey, all of them have re-enlarged. Here is Carlsbad on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Yes.
Hey, what this guy's missing in his life is a little discipline.
No, I've had discipline. And I had all of the weight loss consciousness that you'd want.
You're passing some really
bad information. How much do you weigh? Have you ever had any weight?
No, I haven't.
Well, then you don't know.
Yes, I do know. Yeah, I work in the fitness industry, and it takes a little discipline.
No, you don't.
A little
I mean,
diet,
no one loses weight and
exercise.
Keeps it off. No one loses weight and keeps it off.
All right, you're in the fitness industry?
Yes, I am.
Have you ever seen people lose weight and keep it off?
How can you do that?
Every day.
How can you do that? You don't see them for their entire lives.
I see a sampling of many people.
But you don't
throughout
see people for their entire lives. You don't know whether they've been able to keep the weight off. Discipline. Try eating 5 Cornish game hens and 4 pounds of potato salad in one sitting.
I think
be happy and enjoy your life.
That's good if we're growing you to harvest.
I bet you I'm happier than you.
All right, thanks a lot for your call. He sounds like a guy who works in the fitness industry, a real meathead. Here is...
Boy, that was harsh, Phil.
Well, I mean, you know, say something, pal, and get off the air. Here's Los Angeles on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? Los Angeles, hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, how you doing?
Fine, what's up?
I just wanted to disagree with what the gentleman's saying. I told you that I was in high school and I weighed about 315 pounds. I was just over 6 foot, and I was nothing but
a bunch of fat. Well, I weighed 180 pounds one time.
Okay. Well, actually, that's the weight I am now. I'm now 36 years old. When I got out of high school, I decided that I wasn't going to be a fat slob anymore. I wasn't going to sit around. I wasn't going to eat a whole carton of ice cream at one sitting.
And how old are you right now?
I'm 36.
Okay, you're going to be trying to hit your 40s. You're going to be willing to weigh back on.
I'm sorry, I can't understand.
I said by the time you hit your 40s, you'll put the weight back on.
Okay, so I should start buying new clothes now or what? I don't get it. Because I just decided in my life that I was going to stop sitting around, stop watching TV all day, get my butt up off the couch, and lose the weight.
Yes, but you know what you have to do that?
I'm sorry?
Do you know what you had to do that?
I can't understand
you. You had to starve yourself.
I've destroyed myself.
You
how's that?
You had to starve. No, starve yourself.
So how's that?
Well,
I'm much happier now.
You lose that ton of weight. You literally had to starve yourself. You had to lose weight by not enjoying the harvest.
Absolutely not. It's all about discipline and just watching what you eat and just.
Yes, watching what you eat. So you couldn't enjoy the full harvest. Have you enjoyed the full harvest?
What's that?
Have you enjoyed the full harvest?
I have enjoyed everything.
What does that mean, enjoyed the full harvest?
Does he eat the food that he wants to eat? Do you eat what you want to eat?
I eat whatever I want. Pizza, burgers, tacos, anything I want.
Do you eat what you want? So do you keep
but I exercise as well. It's all about exercise. It's all about being disciplined.
What about exercising?
Exercising to keep the weight off is our way of caving in to the demands of a society that's embarrassed by its own weight and its re-enlargement. And when I re-tubbed, it was awakening to me.
Well, I used to be 15 pounds, so how do you explain it that I've kept off of this weight for 12, 15 years now?
Yeah, 12 or 15 years isn't a lifetime, my friend, and you still have a long way to go. And if I were you, I would get ready for the re-tubbing.
Get ready for the re-tubbing, huh?
Yes, sir, the blimping.
Okay, well, now to me, I think it's all about discipline and watching you eat. Look,
yeah, I think you're wrong.
Seafood isn't just eating the food you see.
Yeah, I've heard that joke before. It's pretty skinny.
I'm sorry?
Could you swallow what you're...
I said I've heard that joke before. It's pretty funny.
All right.
Okay, well, I mean, look, it's all about discipline and getting off your butt, as simple as that.
Thank you for your call, sir. Here is Culver City on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Bill. How's it going? Listen, this guy is talking about being healthy when you're obese. I don't understand that. My father died of pancreatic cancer. He was obese for the last 20 years of his life. And everybody...
It had nothing to do with his obesity. There's plenty of obese people who don't get cancer.
Well, of course there are. That's like there's a lot of people who smoke who don't get cancer.
There you go. You know, if you're going
to
enjoy your life,
are you trying to say that obesity
food,
is a state of hell?
I'm telling you that it's a state of mind as to whether you're healthy or not. And if you let people tell you how healthy you are, then you're in a very, very bad way.
Lakeside on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Eddie. How are you doing today?
Fine.
All right. I'm kind of concerned. I mean, I have children. I've done research. I used to be a cardiovascular technician for a large hospital. What you're preaching to some of these children is that it's okay to be overweight. That's unhealthy. It's totally unhealthy.
It's okay to be overweight. There is nothing wrong with having a good attitude as long as you enjoy what you eat.
That's, well, you know what? It's okay to enjoy what you eat, but there's always that saying, in moderation.
Well, you know, we don't do that, all right? All I'm trying to say is it's impossible to lose weight.
Yeah, the point of what you're saying is it's impossible to lose weight and keep it off.
That is correct.
I don't know. I just kind of wondered if there was a fact that you had regarding someone like Jenny Craig, or I know you're talking about...
I don't know, but I think Jenny Craig has re-tubbed.
Well, you know, people do fluctuate. I fluctuate, you know, quite frequently,
well,
but I don't...
you've seen Jenny Craig in her commercials, correct?
Okay.
All right, you know she's got what we would call a fat face.
Okay.
You've seen her face.
Yeah.
All right, that guy's phone is cracking up. What do you mean she has a fat face?
Jenny Craig has the big, fat cheeks, and I don't just mean on her face, either. And she has that full figure. My information was that she'd re-tubbed out. I've been trying to reach her now for the last 6 months to see if she indeed had re-tubbed, if she wants to join us for the re-tubbing and blimping.
And what do you mean, the re-tubbing and blimping? Hey, Jenny, why don't you come on down to Fat Pride in Anaheim Hills and join us for the re-tubbing and blimping? And where's Susan Powder? You say she's re-enlarged?
I believe so, yes. She's re-enlarged. She's super re-enlarged.
Who?
Phoebe.
Who?
Phoebe and Amy.
Phoebe and Amy?
Phoebe Amos.
Famous Amos. I didn't even know who the hell Phoebe and Amy were.
They re-enlarged too.
They re-enlarged too. Who's Phoebe and Amy?
They're never full of people.
Will you swallow that food before you talk to me?
There are a couple of people who were in Fat Pride and got out because they thought they could lose weight. But they didn't. They re-enlarged.
They what?
They re-enlarged.
They re-enlarged. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Make the bumpers a minute long. That way you'll never have to worry about them fading out too soon. Because we're putting it on a digicart, so that means you, you know, you got all the time in the world, right? Think and hold 8 million hours of quality programming, ain't it? Phil Henry here, 1-800-449-8686. Oh, this is a cool movie, The Madness of King George. You ever see this? The guy was peeing blue and he was nuts. Do you ever see this movie? King George, the guy was king of England when America's revolution took place. During the American Revolution, the king of England was a guy named King George. And apparently he had moments of insanity. And he'd pee blue. Those two things. He'd go completely nuts. He'd run around the castle. He had a German wife. The Queen of England at that time was some German woman. And he was ape, and they hired some doctor, played in this movie by Ian Holm, and they tied him up and put him in straitjackets, all kinds of crap. And then the other thing is he peed blue. They had no idea back in the 18th century. Today, apparently, it's some virus, or it's some recurring virus. We know what it's called, and I think we know how to treat it now. But in those days, what the hell are you going to do? Guy's peeing blue, and then the other thing is they had a doctor who, forgive me, but the doctor, this, you know, medicine in those days, there were guys that specialized in reading your stool or something. I don't know what it was. They'd go, let me see the stool. This one doctor is, I believe that the stool is most eloquent. So poor old King George would have to crap into a bowl, and the guy would look at it, and, well, I think he's got TB. Yeah, I don't know how they did this. And so that's what they figured out. And then they realized the guy was goofball. He was just whacked out on some kind of a goofy virus or fungal or some kind of thing. And that's why he was peeing blue. And this is what Craig Taylor wanted me to do in front of my wife with the urinator. Fill it full of blue dye. Pee in front of Maria. And then she screams. And I go, oh, the pain! Ah! So what do you watch? You watch the History Channel here at night? It's pretty cool. Television's fantastic. I don't get to watch enough of that stuff. What were you guys all? Oh, everybody's up on the Friends final thing that's happening Thursday night. And the kids, they are. It's too bad I put a pool cue through the television set. Kids are so totally up on TV. They are totally into Friends. They are completely into Titus. I watched Titus last. They wanted us to watch Titus with them last night. Have you seen this Stacey Keach thing? And what's the actor's name? Christopher Titus? And it's funny. I mean, I want to find a lot of these shows funny because everybody else does, you know, but I sat there. I have to tell you, there were long stretches where nobody was laughing, but that was like Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. There were long stretches in the movie theater where nobody laughed at that either, but I was really digging it anyway, and I want to believe it's because, here we get back to that subject again, everyone was stoned. And they were just, wow. It's like I went to see Nora Dunn once at the Improv in Walnut Creek. I didn't laugh once, but I thought she was brilliant. And I think she still is brilliant, one of the best. But I never really laughed because the character she was in. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, we had to sit with the kids last night and watch this Titus thing. And so on Thursday night, they're completely into every episode, every real cool show. And all I got to do is talk to the kids to know what I'm missing. But I don't go home, man. I watch TV. Unless it's a ball game or something, right? So anyway, last night we watched this Titus. What was cool about it is because the father in the show is a sick, twisted bastard, and they wanted him to. He quit drinking a month ago, and he's turned into some insufferable slob as a result. He's just a pain in the ass, and so they had an intervention, and they invited their dad over to the house for this intervention to get him beer, and he turns into an asshole. Excuse my language. So that was that, and you know, that was really fascinating. I couldn't be more bored. Anything else? Or do you want to leave the show early? I can't be more freaking bored with this show tonight. You want to go early? Can we just play music for the rest of the hour? I'm so bored. I can't see straight. What do you want to do? Didn't we prep anything more than this crap that we did on the show today? This crappy show that we laid out for our fans today? Isn't there anything more that we have? Is this it? Well, don't stare at me. This show today sucked. I was not proud of this presentation at all. Completely disappointed in the material on this show today. Because unless we're banging it out of the park every single day... Pardon me. unless we're banging it out of the park. Every single, I'm not going to do that. I'm not having that nutcase on the show. I was just informed of one other. I'm just, it's the show today blew. Okay, so I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait for the minutes to tick down to 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock Eastern, so I can get out of this thing that we did today, that we foisted on our listeners today. They come to the radio every day hoping to hear radio magic, and today just sucked. Wasn't proud of this thing at all. I have my reasons. And look at this. I got 19, 21 minutes to go. Now what are we going to do? Oh, man. Every day it's the same thing. Every day it's the same thing. Come to the radio. What do you want to do? Here it is. Does it work? I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Nothing to talk about. Nothing at all to talk about. You think I want to talk about this stuff? Why do we even print off these news stories? We don't use them. Look at this. Bush and Gore spar on Social Security. Well, how do you do? How do you do? Why'd you print that one off? Clinton administration nervous about oil prices. De Palma angered by questions about Mars. What Mars? Mission to Mars? Elizabeth Taylor and Julie Andrews have been knighted by the Queen. Firefighters race against winds. Germany films to take responsibility for firms to take responsibility. I hate it! This is the most ignorant generation of Americans. You don't think that they were going to talk about this crap and have anybody care, do you? And I'm not saying that as if to say, gee, I'm going to really make them care by saying that they're too stupid to care. I don't blame them for not caring. I think that, you know, frankly, what we have today is a program. You know, I was disappointed from the get-go. The show started like a flaming abortion anyway, because I started with that Dodger game, and I didn't have the right sound effects up. And then I got this bumper music that's 20 seconds long. Now, I love Craig Taylor. He's a great guy, but he's cueing me. And when he cues me, I'm supposed to talk. Well, not always. Today, I wasn't ready. So then we go into that ball game, and that was okay. And then I forget what else we did. I can't think of one funny thing that happened on this show today. Not one. Can you? I can't think of anything funny that happened on this piece of crap that we put out on the airwaves today. And I don't blame you if you people want your money back. Any product that you bought that you heard advertised in this program, take it back to the store. Ask for your money back. Not because the product's bad, but because the Phil Henry Show sucked on wheels today. Now, I'm sorry. I don't want to disappoint people. I'm not trying to, and I'm looking for any pity. I don't want to piss people off. And, oh, God, Phil, quit that. It's so ugly when you do that. I'm being honest. I'm disappointed entirely in this presentation this afternoon. It may have to do with the fact that I didn't come to the show 100%. I got out of bed early this morning. I took the kids to school. I'm not using that as an excuse. I was going to go back to bed and take another nap. My wife and I went over to a furniture showroom to find out where a sofa was that we ordered 3 months ago. Bed that we ordered 4 months ago. I am told by people in the know, people in the business, well, that's par for the course in our business, Mr. Henry. You see, you can order yourself a table and it won't get here for 3 years. This is supposedly par for the course in the custom furniture business. You order a table and it's out there for 3 freaking years because they, like a pygmy tribe, is carving it. Yes, I'd like that table. Now we have to go to the pygmy tribe and have them carve all the legs and put it together. It's handmade. Handmade. I'm going to be retired by the time I get it. I want to sit down and eat a meal at a table. Can I get it, please? So I found out that they delivered the sofa, but the bed that we ordered, that's at the factory back in North Carolina. What is the deal, man? Put the bed together and send it to me. I've been sleeping on the floor for 4 months. I'm just kidding. Not really. We've been in our very nice Sears bed. It's a very nice Sears, you know, but it is Sears, so how long are you going to keep that crap laying around, right? When I die, they'll be serving food on the table that I ordered at my wake. Your table's here, Phil. I'm laying in a box. Well, just go ahead and put the potato salad out there. So that's what we did, and, you know, spent an hour doing that. And when I got home, I didn't have a chance to go back to freaking bed. I'm out of bed this morning taking the kids to work, taking the kids to school. And, you know, I mean, hey. So I came to the show today. I mean, I came to the prep process today a little fagged out, if you'll pardon the expression. And as a result, nothing that we did today, either in show prep or on the show, struck me as even remotely funny. And that sucks, because that's the only reason why I come here in the afternoon, to crack myself up. Because you know what? It's bad enough coming to work, right? You got to have a job you enjoy. And the job that I like to, you know, to think that I do is cracking me up first, making me laugh. And I didn't find one thing funny about this crap can show today. And I'm not looking for people to tell me how great I am. Take all these calls and flush them down the toilet. Make it hang up on all of them. And I'm not reading any mail or any email. It's just how I feel. See, when I blow, I have the guts and I have the temerity, if you will. I have the manhood to admit it. Wouldn't it be nice if most of the other people up and down the radio dial would do the same thing? Half of them would probably blow their brains out of their skull. If everybody on the radio was honest with themselves, half of them would swallow the barrel of a shotgun. The other half would say, you know, like me, you know, I really suck today. But how about a good 50% would get that 9mm out of the safe in the wall and go ahead and do the deed. Just a nickel-plated revolver, get into the full-dress uniform, put the barrel in the mouth and say, goodbye, I got to go to another line of work. Pow! And with that very uplifting note, look at Melissa. She's in there going, this is so sad. I really liked you. But the show was going good until you went into this rant. She's crying. Poor things in there crying. How's your grandma? What do you mean? She's running her finger across her throat like she's dead. They put her back in the hospital, time's ticking. Jesus, what a day, huh? Show sucks and your grandma's dying. Oh, well. Want to go get a drink? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry at 1-800-449-8686. Oh, why are we giving out the phone number? I'm hanging up on everybody that's calling in. I'm sitting here, I'm clearing off all the lines as we speak. By the way, my good friend and engineer Craig Taylor's family is in the almond business in Northern California, except his uncle said to Craig, you don't call it almond, you call it almond. And Craig says this to me. He says, my uncle says it's not called almond, it's called ammon. I said, where do I go with that information, man? Do I go out into the street? I catch a bus with that? Ammon? You know, the guy ought to be lucky I'm buying his stinking almonds. I walk into any store. I walk into any party. I go out into the world and call them almonds, and there's a guy standing there. He's ready to kick my ass. What do you mean, almonds? Remember, just one can a week, man. And I love them, too. I eat the sons of guns. I think the barbecue jobs, man, they're fantastic. So anyway, like I was saying about this furniture, we ain't got no furniture in our house, by the way. You got furniture? We got none. We got our old stuff. This house is just sucking everything else that I got up. And I mean, it's just anything I throw into it. We got no furniture. And so that's why we called up and we checked on this one sofa that we bought. All we did was we bought a sofa and put different fabric on it. 18 years later, I'm going to get this thing. And everybody is so polite and they're very nice. And yes, Mr. Henry, you have to understand, that's the business. And she said she waited for a dining room table for 6 months. And we sat on the floor. And oh, bull crap, you did not. So I told my wife, we'll go over there, we'll get action, you watch, we'll walk right over there today, we're going to go right over there and we'll get action, we'll get in the car, we're going to drive over there, honey, don't you worry about a thing, we walked in there, and we walked out, and they go, what the hell happened? She goes, nothing, it's, you know, it's good going, Hendry. You were going to get action, huh? All we had, we got sweet talk. Don't you love that when you think you're going to get action? When you're going to go in and you're going to tell them how it is and what's up. And you walk in there and you're ready to rock and roll, man. And a half hour later, you walk out of there. You don't know whether to flip or fly, man, because that cat sweet talked you right out of that joint. And the fact of the matter is, you still ain't going to get your sofa anytime sooner. or your Ammons for that matter. And this bed. What is up with that? Just build it and ship it. I didn't know that they were carving this thing out of rare eucalypti trees in Australia or something. What, do they got to shake the koala bears out of the tree, man, before they can start carving the wood that they're making my bed out of? You know, this custom-made furniture thing only goes so far in my book, you know? Make sure that the lumber's already planed and ready to go before we even order the bed, man. I don't need them cutting the trees down. Speaking of that, are you aware of the fact that we cut our timber down in the Northwest, then we ship it to Japan, and they turn it into lumber, and they build their furniture with it? I mean, we can't even, you know, like, turn it into lumber ourselves. We got to ship it to the Japanese. It's just like raw trees. You know why? Because they don't trust our 2x4 makers over here. They think we're a bunch of dumbasses. How about that? I mean, it may be true, but do we have to take that from those Japanese? 2 atom bombs, and it had no noticeable effect. That's unbelievable. They don't even like the fact that we don't have no guys over here that can make no good 2x4s. We don't even have no talk show host that can say no good. The grammar's terrible. Did you hear that? Koalas are the ones doing the carving. Hire your host.
Bill Henry.
Christopher was asking the astronomer, can your telescope tell me where the sun's gone? And I'm still sitting with my next door neighbor saying,
where'd you get the gun?
Thanks for listening anyway.
Straight through the night. The work wonders.